Thank you for joining me today as we close out another work week together here on God Is. We believe that He is, and He's given us this remarkable gift of His Word so that we may learn day after day and week after week who He is. God's nature and character are on full display in the Bible. We do not have to guess at who He is. We know the living God through what He has written to us about Himself. And right now we're still in verses 3 through 4 of Matthew 4. As part of this, I've introduced you to the wisdom of the Apostle Paul regarding how to successfully overcome temptation, specifically when temptation to sin strikes at our flesh, our bodies, when lust for food and drink, for an acceptable body image, and for illicit sexual relationships, and/or the use of pornography in various forms, woos us away from God and toward the devil. What do we as Christians do when we get overwhelmed by the evil one? We've heard the words of Jesus to us on this same point. That was in Matthew chapter 5, which we discussed Wednesday and Thursday. And then yesterday we dug into Paul's writing at Romans 6 and verse 12. And I asked you to note the words mortal body in this verse. My goal is to give 5 insights into our mortal bodies. The reason I want to do this is because understanding the mortal body will help us to know how to practically resist temptation to sin. What does Paul's writing to the Romans have to do with the devil's tempting of Jesus in the wilderness? Answer, quite a lot. So, let's get going. My first insight, given last time, was this. If you are a genuine Christian, there is a difference, a distinction between your mortal body and your soul. I'll say that again. Christians, there's a difference between your mortal body and your soul. Sin is in the mortal body, but sin is not in your soul. We considered this biblically. So, if this doesn't sound right to you, then read the scripture. And go back and get yesterday's God Is podcast. For those of you who might think my first insight has echoes of dualism, as if I am a good Gnostic, write to me about this on the weekend. I'll have a defense for you. Gnosticism is a heresy, and I am no heretic, I assure you. Should you now be asking, Gnosta what? Do not worry about that right now. I won't take up time dealing with Gnosticism today. My first insight regarding the Apostle Paul's use of mortal body is that there is a difference between your mortal body and your soul. Sin is in the mortal body, but sin is not in your soul. Because of what God has done for you as a Christian through Christ, forgiving you your sins, sin no longer has any claim on your soul. Now, if you join us as a person without saving faith in Christ, then this does not apply to you because your sin is not yet forgiven you. To have all your sins forgiven comes through genuine faith in Jesus Christ as the only person who can rescue you from the wrath of God, the coming judgment of God on you. If you want your soul to be set free from sin, humble yourself before Christ today and contact me or your Christian friends and family members to learn more about this. It is the greatest decision that you will ever make. And now my second insight is this. Second, the mortal body is a dying body. It's temporary, and that means there is great hope for Christ's people. And here we focus on the word mortal. What does the word mortal mean? It means subject to death, what will die, what will not live forever. Whereas the word immortal means incorruptible, not subject to death, cannot die, does not die, and lives forever. This is crucial to catch. Paul says our bodies are mortal. Look down at your body if you're not driving. Go ahead. Do you see it? I've got news for you. It's mortal. It's subject to death. It will die. And this old, tired body, or your young, well-rested, perfectly sculpted body, it will not live forever. It's mortal, but your soul is immortal. Your soul lives forever. This is crucial to catch indeed. Now, someone who knows his or her Bible well is thinking, wait, our bodies, these bodies, will be resurrected from the dead one day. And you're right. As Christ was resurrected in bodily form, so too shall we be resurrected in bodily form. Heaven is not a bunch of bodiless souls roaming around. It is not. We will have bodies in heaven. But first, Christ will change these earthly, mortal bodies into perfected, immortal bodies. Let's see this in the Bible. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Apostle Paul wrote both Romans and Corinthians, and this 15th chapter is packed with rich content. I wish we could have all day on this. Listen to this and read it on your own this weekend. It's a great, hopeful read. If you are feeling hopeless, read this. 1 Corinthians 15, and I will pick it up at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Aha! Paul is saying at the resurrection, when the trumpet sounds, we will be changed, meaning this body, when Christ resurrects it from the grave, will be changed. That's what I have been telling you. And changed how? Verse 53, this mortal must put on immortality. There it is, friends. The mortal body, the one you are in right now, the one that sins, will be changed into an immortal body so that you and I can live forever in God's presence in heaven in our immortal bodies. And so when we have immortal bodies, perfect bodies, those bodies will never, ever again sin. And that's why I say we have great hope. Christ's people have eternal and everlasting hope that can never be taken away from us. Aren't you looking forward to the time when your mortal, sinful, dying body is changed into an immortal, sinless, eternal, living body? I am. We are. All tuckered out and tired on a hot summer Friday, look up with great anticipation and hope, brothers and sisters. We will be changed. These bodies will be changed. My second insight, the mortal body is a dying body. It's temporary, and that means there is great hope for the Christian. I think you got it. Let's move on to my third insight. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul writes, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And we're focused today on the two-word phrase, mortal body. My third insight is this. In Scripture, listen to the relationship of sin specifically to the mortal body. I want to make sure you understand that when you sin in your mortal body. For example, still within Romans, look at Romans 7, verses 17 through 18, when you have an opportunity to do so. Listen to the word flesh, which is a synonym for mortal body. Let me read this for you. Romans chapter 7, verses 17 through 18. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. That was Romans 7, verses 17 through 18. Perhaps you know these verses well, but have you considered the word flesh here in light of what the apostle has already written in verse 12 of Romans 6? This makes sense. Paul's saying his sin comes from his mortal body, his flesh. Just like us, Paul sins with his body. Perhaps you require more scripture in order to accept this? Okay, let's just stick in this magnificent book of Romans. Here now, Romans chapter 7 again, and this time at verse 24. This is Romans 7, verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Body. Body of this death. Notice the emphasis from Paul. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. This is Romans 8 and verse 23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, awaiting eagerly our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. We groan in these mortal bodies. We eagerly await what? We eagerly await the redemption of our body. Body, body, mortal body. We sin in the body. That is why we groan for an immortal body. Here is one you likely know or even have memorized. What does Romans 12, verse 1 say? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's Romans 12, verse 1. And finally, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. This is the Apostle Paul now writing to the church at Corinth. We had this verse recently. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And by the way, the same Greek word for body is used in the last four texts I read to you, soma, the physical body, the flesh. This is the deep connection in the scriptures between sin and the mortal body. I hope you see it. For Christians, sin is in the mortal body, not the immortal soul. I'm giving you five insights into the mortal body, and we'll have to come to the fourth on Monday. Time is all gone. Unbelievable. Where does it go? This is one of those weeks where I wish we had more time. But like you, I have to fit my tasks to my time. Think about what we're learning together. Apply this to your life. God is. And I hope and pray that you will get to know him better all weekend long. And then join me again on Monday for more on the mortal body. Here on God Is.